Blog Talk Radio.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. And I want to
presenting our words of encouragement for today. So I strongly advise that you stop whatever it is you are doing, you find yourself a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. And it is by the mercy and grace of God that we've made it through this day. And I'm hoping that, we've had some real bad weather. We've had some real bad weather in the last 2 or 3 days here in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Riverdale area. And we've had some trees down and some power lines down. And this morning it's sort of calm, but boy, it sure came through here last night. Didn't it rain, like May Tubby used to say from St. Louis when he sang that song, didn't it rain, didn't it rain? Well, it sure enough did last night. But now it's sort of calmed down for just a little bit. And so I'm hoping that, and our prayer is that you didn't receive any damage in your particular area, especially your house and things of that sort, and that it passed you by. And, of course, the biggest part of the storm passed over us, went around us or something. And so we're thankful for that. And then I hope that you're able to get your antenna right on top of your house. You remember when you had antennas on top of your house and it turned the wrong way and a channel would go off and be nothing but snow? Somebody had to get up on top of the roof and turn it to the right just a little bit. You say, okay. Oh, right there, right there, right there. So I'm hoping that you got your antennas turned just right for today. The storm has and that's a beautiful song too. The storm is passing over, hallelujah. And so, welcome to the program for today. Now, this is going to sort of be an early kind of a program. Not early because it's in the morning, but early because Sunday is Mother's Day, and it's probably one of the most popular days in the entire year. And even with Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so there's going to be a lot of flowers bought and going to be a lot of people taking their mothers out to dinner and things of that sort. But you may be one of those, like me, where your parents have already passed on, and yet there are still some fond memories. And one of the things we got to remember is that Mother's Day is for all the mothers. I don't care what shape. It's for the good mothers. It's for the bad mothers. It's for the mothers who make good decisions. Some have made bad decisions. Some incarcerated. Some way, wherever they might be. And sometimes we focus on the just right mama. But Mother's Day is for everybody who has conceived and has brought a child into this world. And we need to think about that. And so Mother's Day is a real popular day, and it's popular with guys. Because if you've ever known anything about football, some of those guys weigh 400 pounds and they'd be on the front lines. And if they get an opportunity to say something, you know how they do the commentary afterwards, they always say, "Hey, Mom." I've never heard anybody say anything about, "Hey, Dad." I don't know what's up with that. But they always say, hey, Mom. And of course, Mother's Day get more attention than Father's Day. I'm just saying. I ain't player hating or nothing like that, but Mother's Day gets quite a bit attention, and so it'll be a lot of flowers and things of that brought. Now, Mother's Day is not celebrated all over the world at the same time. There are some people who celebrate it at different times, like in Norway. Theirs is on the second Sunday of February, and then in Mexico, it's on the May the 10th. And, of course, here in the United States, it's on the second Sunday of May. And so that's coming up this large day. Now, set aside from that just a second, many churches are still trying to figure out when to go back, how to go back, if they're going to go back. Let's shut this whole thing down. Let's do something different. But our ladies here at Graceview Saturday decided to go out to a park in nature. On the shed, and it was about 15, 16 of them, and they had a super duper time worshiping, praising God. Hadn't seen each other in a year, getting caught up on the fellowship, all that kind of stuff. Had some little knickknacks, some sandwiches, and some drinks and things that sort. And we can do some things. We just don't have to sit around and be locked in the house all the time. But they was outside in nature, and I'm telling you, it was a good time. These is all the ladies. Some of these ladies was parents, and some of them wasn't. And so we give them the honor and give them their due for sort of like a test run. It was the testing the waters. It was testing the water to see what we could really do, and social distances and masks and things of that sort, and how people feel about it, whether they had the shots, whether they didn't have the shots, and it was just a real good. A real good time, but these was latest from the Graceview Church of Christ who went out and had this little fellowship. Now, when we talk about Mother's Day, most of us go to Proverbs 30:31. I want to show you something. Proverbs 30:31. It actually starts in verse number 10. Proverbs 31 and verse number 10 is where the whole thought starts. But we choose that passage, or has been chosen and will be this coming Lord's Day to be mentioned, I know, several times. But it's really not a passage just for a woman. If you look at that whole story, it's a passage also for an entire family. We've plucked that out. I don't see us going in there and plucking nothing out for Father's Day. We don't go in there and pluck nothing out for children or for servants and things. That's we sort of pluck it out just for Mother's Day. But that passage gives an overall view of what the entire family is about, and it gives an overall view of the cooperation in the family. I doubt very seriously that she would have been chosen as the virtuous woman if everything else in that whole family was just going haywire. Now, sometimes we give people awards and we give people their accolades because we can see the goodness in them and we can see how God is working in their life and things like that. But sometimes the reason why they don't get no attention is because so much chaos and so much trouble is going on in that entire family that it actually overshadows that. But when you read this particular passage, you'll see that pretty much everything is sort of intact, and which makes it easier. Which makes it easier to choose this lady as a virtuous woman. Now, reason why I said things are intact and it makes it easier to choose her as a virtuous woman is because, you know, I'm in the funeral home business, and so I'm in and out of funerals all the time, and I see all kinds of families and family situations, and some of them are just slap pitiful. Some of them don't have any church home. Some don't have a preacher. There's a lot of violence in the funerals. I was just in one last week where there was a big fight broke out right at the parents' house of the deceased, and I've been somewhere they have to call the police to the gravesite and to the funeral home. So you would think that would be the most respectful time in a person's life, but the ones who are left behind is the one who keep causing all the problems, not the one that's dead. But anyway, I brought that up to just say when you talk about people and you try to find something to say something about them, the virtuous woman, she would be one who, when she passed away, you wouldn't have to lie about what you was going to say about her. And some funerals, boy, you got to figure out something to say. I mean, you have to really think of something, say something good about that particular situation. So you just stick with the Bible. You don't even go in that area. Don't even try to figure out what's going on with that. But the virtuous woman, when you read that passage, it says who can find a virtuous woman in the first place. As a matter of fact, it opens up with a question out of all the women in the world and out of all the situations that's going on. It says who can find a virtuous woman. For her price is far above rubies. And so then it launches into this woman. It really don't start off just talking about her and saying that she is it. It asks a question as to where can she be found, as if it's a lost art or if it's a lost pearl. And then he says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need for spoil. So the first person we see that comes up in this virtuous woman's life is a husband. So it has to be a family situation. And the Bible says that he does trust in her. So it's more about the family in addition to the virtuous one. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse number 13 says, she seeketh wool and factory and worketh well with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, and she bringeth her food from afar. She rises up while it is night, while it is yet night. and giveth meat to her whole, to her household. So she's a productive woman, and she takes care of her family and a portion of her to her maiden. So even the maids and the people who are servants, I'm not going to call them slaves at this particular time, but who are servants in that house, receive some good things from this particular woman. And then she considers a field and she buys it, and the fruit of her hands, she planted the vineyard. So she's a pretty productive kind of a person. She's not one where her husband say, all you need to do is just stay home and raise the children. She gets outdoors every once in a while, it looked like. And then she girded up her loins with strength, and strength is in her arm. She perceived that her merchants is good, and so then she goes out and sells them. She lays her hand to the spindle. Looks like she's one of them so-and-sos, because she can sew. She can sew. He says she put her hand to the spindle, and she makes clothes. And then she stretches out her hands to the poor, so she just don't be snobbing and the nose up in the air all the time about this kind of thing. She sort of recognizes people who are in need and do what she can do. And then she reaches forth her hands to the needy. So she got a husband. She bought a field. She knows she's a so-and-so because she can sew. And she sees something that's with a needy. You want an apple, orange? You want a piece of bread? And she's not afraid of the show of her household. And then he says, and she maketh her coverings. And her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among other elders. And then she maketh fine linen, and looked like she really almost like Lydia in Acts, in the book of Acts, with the sewing thing, and strength and honor in her clothing. And she rejoices in the time to come. And she opens her mouth. Now, this is verse number 20 says, the Bible says, she opened her mouth with wisdom. She don't be saying a whole bunch of crazy stuff. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. And so she ain't one of them that evidently that twist a neck around and everything, going to say what she's going to say, and you're going to hear me regardless. And she looketh well to the ways of her household. And she gets bread. And then verse number 28 is so important. Her children rises up and call her blessed. Her husband does also, and he praises her. Verse 28 is really the key to that whole passage, when it says that her children respects her, and then her husband respects her. If your children respect you and your husband respect you, you got to turn out to be a virtuous woman. One of the beautiful songs that we used to sing is and how will it start? It started with a Christian home. God give us Christian home. God give us Christian home, home where the Bible is loved and taught, home where the master's will is sought, home crowned with beauty love hath sought and wrought. God give us Christian home. Verse 2, God give us Christian home, home where the Father is true and strong, homes that are free from the blight of wrong, homes that are joyous with love and song. God give us Christian home. Number 3, God give us Christian homes, home where the mother is queenly quest, strive to show others the way is best, home where the Lord is an honored guest. God give us Christian home. The last verse, God give us Christian home, homes where the children are led to know Christ is the beauty who loves them so, homes where the altar fires burn and glow. God give us Christian homes. Look that up in your songbook sometime, the first opportunity you get. God give us Christian home. That is a family song. Lord, thank you for this day. Thanks for the opportunity to even have this privilege to approach you. Grant our mothers a great day, and even through this day, even up until that day comes. Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he's coming again. And have a super duper week.